the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
One of the big barriers to crypto adoption is this whole concept about wallets, digital wallets, which is really the equivalent of a bank account. Now, a lot of very interesting solutions have come up in the crypto space. The biggest in the world is Trust Wallet, which is something that you hold on your phone and you can store all of your crypto wealth, your stable coins, your Bitcoin, Ethereum, on that wallet. And it has, I think, over 150 million users. It's only been going for about 6 or 7 years. And I'm speaking now to Eoin Chen, who is the CEO of Trust Wallet. Eoin, tell us a little bit about Trust Wallet. How did it start? What were you trying to solve at the time that it was started?
Yes, it was great to have this conversation. We started 7 years ago in 2017. If you remember the crypto history, that was when there were so many different coins were launching in Ethereum, doing the what we call initial coin offering stage, ICO. At that time, for people wanting to tap into the opportunities, they have to go onto the desktop and install a web extension or trying to send code directly to be able to interact with the blockchain. So it was really, really inconvenient, especially for non-technical, everyday people. So we created a trust wallet because at the time, the team just wants to hold all the shitcoin in the phone. But then, as I mentioned previously, our founder used to build apps for truck drivers to claim their rest stops. So we always care about is everyday people, normal people. So if we are giving people a simple tool to allow them to hold all the cryptos in one place, be that one-stop shop, it has always been the mission and the vision that we wanted to have when it comes down to using wallets, using blockchain for people to take ownership of their money.
Okay, and I think in Africa, people are familiar with the concept of a bank account. But when it comes to a digital wallet for your stable coins and your crypto, that's, of course, it's not dissimilar, but it is a barrier because, first of all, you have to go onto an exchange, purchase your Bitcoin or your stable coin, and then you transfer it to your wallet. Are you finding in Africa that is a barrier?
It definitely is a detour. The challenges tends to lie in more on how to allow fiat to go into crypto. And this is where exchanges are working with the governments locally or bank accounts or traditional financial infrastructures to allow that. That's why centralized exchange right now are the biggest gateway to allow the fund flow from the fiat into the crypto world. But the challenge with centralized exchange comes down to the same concerns that people might have with banks, which is, how do I know that when I need my money, that you will always have my money? Because even though I can see on the screen, you show me I have $100, but what if there's a database issue? What if someone is moving the money to do something else, which happened in the crypto industry back in 2021 with the FTX, which is one of the biggest exchanges in the U.S. downfall. So that's why people, even if they have the cryptos already, they're still moving potentially the money from a centralized exchange to having the money in their own hands, which is stored on the blockchain that they can see exactly. And they hold the only access to authorize and moving the money around. And that's what Wallet is trying to do, is to help people to easily do the management that they want with the blockchains.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about your customers, 150, 160 million people worldwide. Yeah. Most of that organically grown.
Yes. Yes.
That's quite a story. Explain that. I mean, that is a huge number.
Yeah. I think we benefited quite a lot because we focus on a simple product. There are a lot of experts wallet product out there to do very advanced things in the blockchain, which is totally good and understandable. But the people that tend to struggle the most are the people who are getting started. They don't need too many functionality. They just need something that are simple, easy to understand enough to build the initial confidence. So our product in the earlier stage really focusing on not having many features. Just do the basic things such as being able to hold your keys, which is the access to your blockchain account, and do send and receive and allow the assets options for people. So it's good enough, simple enough, confidence building enough for many of the people to start it with. And we do have a lot of Africans using it. They're using it because the friends or family members from abroad potentially are having a crypto and wanted to send them. And we all know that how challenging or difficult international remittance has been. So many of the people naturally use crypto and blockchain network as the way to send the money. Then usually they will give the instruction is that this is the easiest thing for you to do. And then we get the organic word of mouth adoptions.
Right. And you were saying earlier that your marketing budget is only about $10,000 a month.
In the beginning, there's no marketing budget.
Okay.
And it's all passionate people locally that they say, oh, let's create a community. Here is this challenges, this struggles. Let me teach us about communities how to use it. Very bottom-up organic growth than traditional businesses.
Okay, and the people in Africa, if you can tell us a bit about the use cases, what are their spending patterns? Are they investing? Are they using it for remittances, for cash payments? What?
It depends on the type of users. There are definitely basic users. There are also a bit more advanced users. They're exploring more opportunities that blockchain has to offer. The basic users, usually their first stop is, I want to control my own assets because I don't know whether a centralized institutions will do the wrong things with my assets. So they just hold. The second stage that they are starting to do is, oh, I'm not just holding, I'm starting to send people around. So they start to do the peer-to-peer payment just by sending across. Those are the basics experiences that people are having with crypto assets on the blockchain. And then because of there are new utilities in decentralized finance build out, people find out, oh, I'm not only holding it, I can put this assets into a transparent smart contract-based earning opportunities.
Yeah, you can earn yield.
Yes, yeah. I'm earning more. So even if I'm not a trader, I can passively put my assets over there and then earn some extra money. So people start to graduate from the initial phase into exploring new opportunity with that. But there are some people that would be like, I think I can be more active than just passively holding or staking or earn. Then I'm finding what is the new interesting assets with an investor mindset or trader's mindset. And they started to trade swaps on the blockchains for many of the long tail assets that doesn't offer on centralized exchanges.
Right. There's a big debate in the crypto community about whether it's safe to custody your coins on a centralized exchange or self-custody, which is your solution, where basically you would have your phone as your wallet, right? What happens if you lose the phone, though?
There are two ways to do it to keep your key. The traditional way is that people's access code to their blockchain account is 12 English words. So people, as long as you clearly keep a record and or remember, some people I do know just remember by head, which is rare, but most people store it on paper or on a piece of metal with a 12 word. Even if you lose your phone, you delete the apps, you don't have internet access for a period of time, as long as you have the internet access with a cell phone device, it doesn't even have to be our software that you can go in there, type in your 12 words, voila, your account access is pre-enabled. That's one traditional way. There's a new way, which I think suits for more general people, is leveraging passkey technology. There are the cryptographic industry standards in the Web2 space. They are good enough for the majority of the people. So how it does is that you use your Face ID to encrypt the secret phrase, and then the encrypted version, not the secret phrase itself, is stored on your iCloud or your Google Drive or any of your cloud choices. So even if Apple or Google's database are hacked, the hackers cannot decrypt it because they don't have your Face ID or your biometrics.
It's like a two-factor authentication, but you need your face.
Do need your face. I hope everyone still has their face if they're alive, right? or their fingerprint, etc. That's what I mean by if it's for the majority of the people. So if you lose your phone, as long as you have your iCloud, Google Drive access, and of course your face, then you can restore, get access to your account.
Right. Now, how does Trust Wallet make its money? Is the wallet downloadable for free?
Yes, it is downloadable for free. We do believe that self-custody is one of the fundamental rights that users can protect themselves. And then it's not a money-generating services for us. Our business model is that we help to drive traffic or volumes to where some of the partners that they are making money, then they give us portions of the shares because we contributed to their business growth. So we're actually a B2C product, a B2B business.
Okay, so, well, I guess at the end of the day, it is the customer that pays. But if, for example, you would be promoting decentralized finance, a yield-earning opportunity on a decentralized finance exchange, you would get something back on that.
Yeah, it depends on partnership deals. Sometimes it's just for free. We don't get anything, but we think this is a good product opportunity for users. Then we will, you know, curate that content. And sometimes you'll be like, hey, I do as a partner, I do want to get a little bit more traffic. I would love to be there. And I'm loving to share a little bit more affiliate referral from you. But if you can put me into a better positions or let's run a campaigns, then they will give us revenues.
And Trust Wallet is the biggest in the world?
For mobile, yes.
For mobile?
Yeah.
What about MetaMask?
MetaMask is the biggest in terms of browser extension.
What is your target for, let's say, by the year 2030? How many users do you want to have?
I think in 5 years, we will be 1 billion.
1 billion?
In 5 years. I think next year, my goal is next year, the whole discussion that we're having right now about, oh, the water key management is really tricky. The gas fee understanding is tricky. This will be gone in a year. Okay. So we will move on from, hey, what if being a UX onboarding challenges conversation or problem statement will be gone?
Okay, so gas fees for people who are not familiar with that, that is the fee that you would be charged on the Ethereum blockchain for doing a transaction, right? And I think people are also put off by that kind of language because they don't quite understand it. You see that's all going to go. People are not interested in the technology behind it. Yes. They just want to know the user experience.
Exactly. So you will ultimately be an experience that's like, oh, I wanted to go from A to B and then I just pay a fee, then I go from A to B. It doesn't really matter the A to B. Who manages the service station or gas station? It doesn't really matter. I hope that it's a common sense that there is a service, there is a fee that's being paid. And then
yes. All right. Thank you very much, Ewan Chen, who is CEO of Trust Wallet, for joining us on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.